You may be seated. Good morning, everyone. We are raising the roof with shouts of praise, are we not? Oof, you feel spirit in this place this morning? It is alive and well. Well, welcome, everyone, and happy Father's Day to all of our fathers and grandfathers and stepfathers and father figures and all of those of you who have a fatherly way about you. We give thanks for all the ways in which you give to us, give to our lives, and enhance our world. So it's our special pleasure today to honor you and to let you know that you hold a very special place in our hearts. And so as we come together today in celebration, we just allow ourselves to expand our love out to all the world, to the fathers everywhere, and the mothers as well, for that matter. There is no limit to how far our love can travel or how far it can be felt. At Unity Renaissance, we hold the vision for, together, a spiritually awakened world, living in peace, love, and joy. Beautiful, beautiful vision. And we pursue it through our mission, which is, together, we transform lives that transform the world. Now let's begin our transformation work together this morning in prayer. I invite you to get comfortable in your seat, close your eyes if that's comfortable for you. And let's just take a deep breath in together. And as we exhale, let go of any worries or concerns, any random thoughts, our busy, busy mind, to just come to this present moment. Come to this present moment as we turn within. We feel this beautiful presence of God all around us and within us. This presence of God that is the pure essence of our being. We need only remember to turn within and we find it. And we think of this presence within us as a golden thread that goes through all of humanity, all throughout the world, every living creature. On this Sunday, even as we honor our fathers, we have a tender place in our hearts for those in Charleston, South Carolina, who have been so affected by the tragic events of this week. So we take just a moment to focus our prayer energy and our love, send it forth in a wave to Charleston and to all the people there, to those who've lost their friends and loved ones, to a town that has been wracked by violence. We send our love forth as a wave of peace and healing, comfort and support. We hold the high watch for all involved. We feel in this moment our oneness, the oneness that heals. We affirm the ever upward climb of human consciousness into greater states of awareness, moving from hate to love, from divisiveness to oneness. Giving thanks for the abundance of love that we are, the abundance of love that we are here to share, and serving it all up for the glory of God. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to give and to care, to celebrate the abundance of love and life. And so it is. Amen.
Awesome. Would y'all like to learn a new song today?
One of the ways in which I used to connect with my father was around financial well-being and financial advice. And so when I got into the corporate world, I would usually call my dad up if I was having trouble figuring out how that worked, and also to help me with money management and that sort of thing. And whatever flaws or shortcomings my father had, I know that he wanted me to live an abundant life. He wanted me to enjoy life. And so on this Father's Day, perhaps this is true for you as well, but it's a fitting tribute, I believe, to my own father, to talk about prosperous living. When we bring up the subject of prosperity, it's a very complex subject and somewhat of a loaded one, is it not? So when I say the word prosperity, what comes to mind for you?
Health.
Health, money. What else?
Happiness.
What was it? Taxes?
Happiness.
Happiness.
Awesome. Taxes.
But taxes are in there too. Anybody else? What was it?
Living well.
Living well.
Security.
Family. Beautiful. Well, you guys are so elevated in consciousness. So when we bring up the word prosperity, often it can create a spark of hope or optimism in us as we think about prosperous living, for example. It can also trigger a certain amount of angst. Because when we think about prosperity, we typically think, maybe not all of you, but other folks, typically think of money. And when we think about money, we almost always feel some level of anxiety. So it brings up these various feelings for us that aren't necessarily pleasant. Nevertheless, we talk about prosperity a lot. We focus on prosperity and money in our own lives. And we do this for very practical reasons. We want food and clothing and shelter. We want to be able to provide for our families. We want to get a good education, perhaps help our children get a good education as well. We want to enjoy life and maybe even retire someday. We want to have a comfortable, happy existence, and we want to be able to buy stuff. I'm just being honest here. So we kind of adhere to Woody Allen's philosophy that money is better than poverty, if only for financial reasons. And so when you boil it all down, we tend to focus on prosperity and even money to a certain degree because we believe it's going to make us happy. On some level, we associate that with being happy. And even though we've all heard that money doesn't buy happiness, I'm not really sure we believe it. I think we more often think, well, money hasn't bought happiness for other people, but I would be the exception to that rule. So let's look for just a moment at what truly does make us feel prosperous and what brings us happiness. So I'd like you to imagine for a moment how it feels when you open up your wallet or look at your bank account. Regardless of how much is in there, and you may have quite a lot of money in there, or you may have just enough to get by, or you may have very, very little. But I would say to you that regardless of how much is in there, when you regard it, there is invariably some sense of fear or insecurity that comes up around it. Even if you have received a financial windfall, there can tend to be this thought pattern of, what will happen when that's gone? Is that going to be enough? How should I spend that? I'm not really sure. Did I really deserve this? What am I going to do about that? Right? And of course, if we're just getting by, there's a whole different reason for our fear and our insecurity. So the point is that when we focus on money, we suffer. We suffer. Creates a lot of tension. And we don't necessarily feel prosperous. We don't feel prosperous. So let's compare that to another set of circumstances. Now I'd like you to imagine how it feels to you when you're giving. Think about how it felt if you were one of the people who brought in used books for the inmates at the Norfolk City Jail. Think about how it felt when you brought in diapers or made donations to the diaper drive. Think about how it feels when you volunteer to help here in this spiritual community. How did it feel last Christmas when you pulled an ornament off of our angel tree and went to purchase a gift for a child in need, a child who might not have had any Christmas without that? I would bet that when you were in that mode of giving, or whatever mode of giving is yours, that you feel a great sense of peace and abundance. You feel blessed. You feel prosperous. You feel happy. Is it not true? How ironic is that, that we feel most prosperous not when we get, but when we give. Mary Manna Morrissey says that prosperity is not a goal that we get to, it's a consciousness that we give from. Isn't that beautiful? And it's really true. No matter what your way of giving, whether you give your time, your treasure, your talent, your love, your prayer energy, your physical presence, whatever it is that you give to something you care about, when you're in that mode of being, you're feeling an expanded sense of life. You're centered in God. You have a prosperity mindset. No lack, no worry, nor concern. Isn't it true? When you're giving, you're just oblivious to all that. You're just living in your joy. You're experiencing the kingdom of God within. And this is exactly why Jesus pointed to this over and over again and said, "Do not store up your treasures on earth where moth and rust can consume and thieves can break in and steal, but store up your treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot consume and thieves cannot break in and steal." So what is he really saying here? He's saying, don't focus on all this material stuff out here. That's not where you're going to find the kingdom. You're going to find it inside of you, the presence of God in you. All other things come and go and pass away, but this presence is with you eternally. You know, in our day and age, it's a little hard to really get that. And in Jesus' time, undoubtedly, it was very hard for them not only to understand it, but much less to live by that. And so I think it's absolutely fascinating that scholars tell us that Jesus talked about money more than anything else, except for the kingdom of God. Did you know that? That 11 of the 39 parables have to do with the subject of money or prosperity. That one out of every 7 verses in the Gospel of Luke has to do with money. That in the 4 canonical Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, money is mentioned in relationship to Jesus or in some teaching of his 25 times. And every time he talks about it, it's always a lesson about giving, using, keeping it circulating, sending it forth, letting it go. There's this great law of energy and motion so that we don't hoard or covet or store up. And I think, well, why did he emphasize this so very much? I think that he was tuned into the fact that the one thing, the one force that was most likely to pull us off our spiritual path, our focus on God, our focus on the divinity within, would be material wealth. And it was as if he was saying, no, 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 come back this way. It's as if there was a fork in the road. And he addressed this very directly when he said, you cannot serve God and wealth. And remember that he said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all else will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else is yours. Now, does that mean that when we're doing our spiritual work, we get the new car, we get the new iPad, we get the new iPhone, all these material things pour in on us? Well, maybe. But when you're in that giving mode, when you're in that sense of bliss that is the kingdom of God, those things don't really matter, do they? It's like, well, maybe that would be nice, but my gosh, what could be more precious than the love that I'm feeling and the oneness right here and now? So these were the teachings of Jesus, and we know them well, and we strive to live by them. Now, I bet some of you are thinking, oh, well, that's all well and good. I've heard that before. But here's my situation. I'm not trying to hoard money. I'm not trying to save it up or be excessive. I need more because I'm trying to survive. And there are those in our congregation in that situation. And what I would say to them, as to all of you, that the path is the same regardless of where you are on the financial continuum. That you seek first the kingdom of God. Now, what does that mean if you're in financial need? It means that you turn within. It means that find the space to let go of your worry, your fear, your doubt, and let yourself get quiet. Go to that still place inside you where you can hear divine guidance. Because it's through divine ideas, they're the currency of the universe. And when we hear those divine ideas, that spirit showing us the way out of whatever situation we're in, isn't good enough to just hear it. We have to act on it. So when these ideas appear to you as images or thoughts or possibilities, haven't you had aha experiences before in your meditation? Oh, I could do this. I could do that. It's up to us to act on it. And when we do that, we see that the way is opened. We could have felt so tight that we didn't see it ourselves, but now the way is opened. And we can step out into that to give our gifts. And in the process, we prosper. We give, we prosper. And as we prosper more, we have more to give. And the cycle just continues to grow and grow as we step even more fully into a higher consciousness. You know, giving is a very integral part of our spiritual work. Giving in all dimensions, not just talking about financially, I mean just giving as a way of life. And Jim Rosmerge, in his truly awesome book with a truly awesome title, Even Mystics Have Bills to Pay, he talks about the rites of passage in giving, the levels that we go through as we rise in consciousness and rise into our own prosperity. And I'm going to share those stages with you today. And before I do, I'm going to offer a little caveat. I'm not doing this to inflict guilt or cast judgment. I've been at every single one of these levels of giving, and I still vacillate quite frequently between them all. I share it because it was a bit of a wake-up call for me to look at it this way. And I also want you to remember that the role of a minister is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. So the first level of giving, the first level of giving is that we don't give. We don't feel that we have enough to give, so we just don't give. We don't give our time, our treasure, our talent. We just don't give. We're afraid. And so we keep our hands shut tight. And what we forget is that when our hands are closed to giving, they're also closed to what? Receiving. Yes. So then we move to the second level of giving. And the second level of giving is one where we kind of get it that the key to life is giving and keeping this flow going. So we think, okay, I'll begin. But we give as little as possible. We're still very nervous about this whole thing. I'll give a little bit. But I still am trying to make my ends meet. If we're at this level, and I take this very much to heart personally, it can be worth the effort to do a little values check. Because I know there are times in my life when I've said I'm barely making ends meet, and yet if I take a step back, I can see that, gee, I did have money to go out for some entertainment. I did find the money for a movie and a dinner and going out. And maybe that just had a passing value to me. But how often do we do that? We find the money for those things, but then we get involved in community service or a nonprofit or something that makes a bigger difference, something that really speaks to our own hearts. And when it's time to give, we give a dollar. I say this only as a checkpoint. And I'm as guilty of it as anybody else. I get to the grocery store, you know, I bought my impulse buys. I got my this, that, and the, oh, I think I'll get that magazine, I think. And then the check girl said to me, would you like to give a dollar to, you know, children in need? And I'm thinking, are you kidding? Look how much I'm spending on the groceries. Just want you to know I'm learning as well. So the third level of giving is when we give because we feel that we should, out of duty or obligation. We feel an obligation. We feel a sense of guilt that we're not giving. Maybe somebody told us to do a values check. And so we're feeling like we should give a little bit more. And we may give quite a lot, actually. But even when we give generously, because we should, we don't necessarily experience the joy, because it's coming from a different motive in a different place. The fourth level of giving is when we give to get. We don't always recognize this on the conscious level, but sometimes we give knowing that it's going to come back to us, and there may even be a little subconscious thing going on there that if I give more of my time, my treasure, whatever it is, I'll gain in power, influence, prestige, people will like me, people will think I'm really great, whatever it is, but there's a motive there of wanting to get back. And the fifth level is when we follow spiritual principle. We give because we know it's more blessed to give than to receive. And we follow in the footsteps of our way shower. And that begins to feel good. But it's still a little bit coming from here. And so the sixth and highest level of giving, yes, we have finally arrived at it. We give because we love to give. We give because we care. We give because it's natural for us to give. And something, when this takes hold, oh my gosh, it changes everything. It's like, I love whatever it is. I can't wait to give more to it. It fills me up so much when I do that. We really are feeling prosperous at that point, knowing that's an unlimited supply. We give in joy, as so many of you do here. It just feels right, and it feels good. So, you know, I'm teaching Prosperity Plus right now on Wednesday nights, and it's been really interesting. We're kind of moving through the different levels of giving consciousness. So I apologize to those of you in the class kind of calling you out here about this. But we've been through this. We're going through this journey together. And so when we began the class, we were given the opportunity, totally voluntary, to make a commitment to ourselves and to God if we wanted to give one-tenth of what we brought in terms of income over the span of the course. Didn't have to do it, no pressure, just let's try an experiment. So most of us did that, made that commitment. Well, the first class when we took the love offering, oh my gosh, there was such a heaviness in the air. You could just feel the dread. It was like, ah, here comes the love offering. Ah, how much am I supposed to give? You know, oh, I really can't spare this money, you know, all that kind of a thing. You could feel the tension around it. Week by week, the energy has shifted. And that group is so energized now. I have people coming up to me during the week saying, I got something I didn't expect. I got blessed financially. I can hardly wait. I'm going to write some extra. I'm going to have extra for the tithe this week. I can hardly wait to give it. I feel that way myself. Oh, my gosh. I get to give more. It feels fantastic. And last Wednesday, when I came in to teach the class, sitting on my chair were three love offering envelopes before we even started the class because people were so excited to give. And do you know that together in that class, and I haven't shared it with the class, we've contributed more than $3,000 to Unity Renaissance. A little group of about 10 people. And it feels great. And that's the best part, that it feels great. So we've gone beyond our self-imposed human limitations. We've realized, I bet you if you ask anybody, I think this is fair to say, if you ask anybody in that class, have you missed what you contributed? Has that been a hardship for you? Not at all. Not at all. Because it's a joy. You know, it's our human consciousness that says that if we give, there's a loss involved because we just gave up something and now the other person has it. Well, in fact, the other person is blessed to receive, but we are blessed even more. We're blessed because we have an expanded awareness of God and a consciousness that provides for every need. We're experiencing that beautiful, beautiful energy of abundance and prosperity. And what we find as we give in whatever way we choose to give is that poverty is not a life without possessions. Poverty is a life without God. We put our focus on God, and all else is provided for us. So I invite you, as you go forward in your spiritual journey, to allow yourself to grow in your consciousness around giving, to allow yourself to feel that expanded awareness of God that is so beautiful. Feel your energy rise. Feel your joy made full, as it surely will be. Allow yourself to be God in action, putting love out into the world. And give because you love. It is your joy to give. That is the secret to prosperous living, and it will bless you and all the world. Let's turn now to our meditation. Let's just take a deep breath in and just let go. Let go into the true prosperity of life, the true abundance in this kingdom of God. Our blessings are too many to count. When we pay attention, we can hardly believe all that is ours. I invite you to breathe into this moment, feeling gratitude in every cell of your being for the many intangible blessings in your life, the ways in which you experience the kingdom of God, your family, your friends, your community, your love, your giving. As we turn within, we discover that everything we could ever need is already there. We tap into divine ideas. We get that nudge from Spirit. We step forward. Step forward into our greatness, into all that we can be. I invite you to connect now with Spirit at the very center of your being. This place that has been prepared for you. This place where all is well, unfolding as it should. And allow yourself to simply commune with Spirit, with your higher knowing, for a few moments in the silence. We give thanks as we remember that just as with the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, that we live in God's grace, that all our needs, all our wants are provided for in just the most perfect way. And we can be sure of that. We know that where our treasure is, there our heart is also, and where our heart is, there our treasure is. So with hearts filled with gratitude, we go forward into our day, giving thanks for all the blessings we received and giving special thanks for the opportunities to give. For all of this, we're so grateful, and so it is. Amen.